This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم الخامس والعشرون من شهر ربيع الثاني 1445 الموافق لتسعة من شهر نوفمبر 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today بإذن الله تعالى we will be dealing with a new surah which is Surah Al-Adiyat. Last time we talked about Surah Al-Zalzalah, so today inshallah we go to Surah Al-Adiyat, and if time permits we move to the next surah after it, inshallah. So يقول الله تبارك وتعالى بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعاديات ضبحا فالموريات قدحا فالمغيرات صبحا فأثرن به نقعا فأثرن به نقعا فوسطن به جمعا إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه على ذلك لشهيد وإنه لحب الخير لشديد أفلا يعلم إذا بؤثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور إن ربهم بهم يومئذ لخبير. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says والعاديات ضبحا. According to the best interpretations of scholars, all of these ayat, the first and the second and the third, are referring to horses. The horses used by the believers when they go and perform jihad fi sabilillah. Ya al-adiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to those horses when they run in the al-adu. They run, they produce sound that is coming from their stomach or whenever the sound is coming. And I guess whoever is familiar with horses, when they're moving, that kind of sound. So this is the reference here, al-dabhu, the sound that comes from the horses. So they're moving towards the jihad fi sabilillah, and they have those sounds. Okay, it increases the prestige, you know, and the fear, you know, of the Muslim in the heart of the enemies. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَ. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by those horses when they move in the place that is a bit rocky, place. They move on a rock, so when you have the crash between the rock and the hoops, especially when they put the metal, you know, as a shoe for the horse, it produces fire. So those flames that comes, you know, those spark of the fire that happens when they are moving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by that as well. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. So فَالْمُورِيَةِ قَدْحَ فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ means they provoke, you know, the dust, because when they move, you see the dust, you know, going up. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمَعَ. And they move until they reach the middle of the enemies. So these are series of swearing to show respect to those horses that the believers are using. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الْخَيْلُ مَعْقُودٌ فِي نَوَاصِهَا الْخَيْرُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, horses, there is khayr in their brain, in their forehead, until the day of judgment. Yeah, this khayr remain until the day of judgment. And that's why in some part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that before the day of judgment, people are going to go back to the usage of horses and donkeys and arrows. Yeah, they will be going back to that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-khayru ma'qudun fi nawasiha al-khayr. And that's why it is a sunnah to learn horse riding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, walaysa min al-lahu illa thalatha. There is no lahu. Lahu is the game and playing that Sharia recognized and accepted as something which has value and virtue. except three: horse riding, camel riding, and when you play with your wife. Yeah, the rest are all useless things that are taken from your time. They don't have any recognition by the Sharia. But the one that you'll be rewarded when you do them is the horse riding, the camel riding, and when you play with your spouse, and she plays with you. So this is concerning the horses that Allah SWT swears by. And as we always mention, Allah has the right to swear by anything He wants. We are supposed to swear by Allah SWT alone. In the past, they used to swear by their parent, you know, and anything. But that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana halifan falyahlib billah aw liyasmut." Whoever wants to swear by something, you know, want to take an oath, he should make sure that he's doing it using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or keep it quiet. Yeah, it's a shirk. Shirkun asghar, for a person to swear by something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is haram. Yeah, and no matter how much you respect that person or that thing, you cannot swear by it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can swear by anything He wants. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in this regard, that is a lesson that we are supposed to learn from it. So usually when you swear, you're trying to emphasize on something. So what is the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to pay attention to, which is the base of the swearing? قَالَ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُوتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed and verily, al-insan, human being, this is the jins al-insan, not a specific person, al-insan, any human being, you know, that has this attitude, this is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming here. لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُوتِ. لَكَنُوت means jahood and kafur. Yeah, because if there is anyone who shouldn't disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, should be insan. Number one. Yeah. Because if you look at all the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it will lead a person to conclude that disobedience against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fit human being. We are so weak. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every single moment. Salam. Please, I guess you have been reminded twice and thrice. So please maintain the adab. It's a place of the remembrance. Okay. I guess there are classes that you can go and stay there and study, inshallah. But when you decide to be here, please be quiet. Please. Okay. Thank you very much. So what I was saying is, if there is anyone who is not supposed to, who shouldn't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody should disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but human beings, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, and He does for everyone. You know, the ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us on the daily basis, you know, before you come, ni'matul ijad itself, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of bringing you into existence, is more than enough to motivate you to, to follow all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any disobedience. We cannot live for a second if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to withdraw His support upon us. Ew Allah, you cannot live for a second. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you. So it is inappropriate for anyone to disobey Allah. Very inappropriate. Anyone. So Allah says, but unfortunately, not everyone is adhering to this message. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. The vast majority of the people, they deny this ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they went and became kuffar. They do things which are against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all the ni'mah, you know. Because naturally, if somebody is giving you ni'mah, benefiting you, you are kind to that person. Yeah, even animals also are like that. Dog can be kind, can be harsh with anyone, but when the owner comes, be very humble. Why? Because of the kindness that is between them. Right? Animals, when somebody is kind to them, they are also kind to him. So we human beings, we have the aql. We're supposed to be better than them. But unfortunately, some of us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inhum illa kal an'ami, balhum adallu sabila. Some of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are none other than an'am. As the cattle, as the animals. He says, balhum adallu sabila. They're actually, in fact, worse than the animals. And Iwallah, you have those people who subhanAllah has nothing to do except to curse the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who did the ihsan to them? Those ones were Muslims at the expense of the companions, the blood of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then they will come and tell you, none of the companions is Muslim. They are the only Muslims. So this one, nothing fits them except the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whom illa kal an'ami bal hum adallu sabila. So it is inappropriate for anyone to disobey Allah. But unfortunately, this is not the reality. The reality is that you have many people who are jahideen li ni'matillahi azza wa jal. And they became kuffar, regardless of this ni'mah, but still they are kuffar. Allah says, innal insana li rabbihi la kanud. Ayla jahud. This is the meaning of the kanud here as it is interpreted by many of the mufassirin. Qala innal insana li rabbihi la kanud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, al-insan li rabbihi la kanud. So he benefits from the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He takes everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately at the same time he rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his actions and beliefs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innahu ala dhalika la shaheed. So some scholars said, wa innahu ala dhalika la shaheed. It's referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa inna Allah ala dhalika la shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognize that and witness whatever a person is doing, and on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to judge him for that. Or it is referring to the human beings in their disobedience and rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their actions are confirming all of these bad and evil behavior. So you can trace this disobedience from their actions and from their statements, as some of the scholars mentioned. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. And naturally you see, you know, human beings always looking for al-khayr. Al-khayr huna huwa al-mal. Yeah, al-khayr huwa al-mal. You know, we have this strong hirs in the wealth. How to accumulate, how to get this and that, you know. The heart is full of the dunya, which is one of the main reasons why many people went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. You know, a person becomes rich because of that accumulation of the wealth. He started to think that even the day of judgment will not happen. He will live forever and ever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. You know, this human being is always having the strong interest, you know, to have more wealth. Having wealth is not evil in itself. But to let the wealth get inside your heart is the bad behavior. Because when it gets inside the heart, it will not come out of it. Yeah? Being a wealthy person is not evil. It's not bad either. It could be good, it could be bad. Yeah. The whole issue of this affair of ours is just about behavior. What kind of attitude, what kind of behavior you have. If you do the right thing in your wealth, it might take you to a higher position, better than the position of those people who don't have the wealth. If you behave in the wrong way, it might take a person to a wrong place, which he would not appreciate to be in that place. So that's why the scholars have mentioned that it is not wrong to become a rich person. Abu Bakr was rich. Abdurrahman bin Auf was rich. Uthman was very rich. Sa'd bin Rabi was rich. Many companions of the Prophet were very rich. That's why Umar, in some of his policies, he said, I don't care. I don't worry about these people, Abdurrahman bin Auf and Uthman bin Affan. He says, because I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, granted them what is enough. So I don't even worry about them. I worry about others who don't have that opportunity they have. So they had the wealth, but what did they use it for? They use it to earn the akhirah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. You use your wealth to get the akhirah. Yeah, that's why Uthman kept on spending. And he doesn't worry about that. He kept on spending until the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا ضَرَّ عُثْمَانُ مَا عَمِلَ بَعْدِ الْيَوْمِ. He says that whatever Uthman is to do after today will never harm him. Going to paradise, paradise confirmed, because of what he spent during the battle of Tabuk. So that's how they got the akhirah. So the Prophet said, "Zahaba ahlu duthuri bil ujur." The rich people, they got all the rewards, you know, because they fast, they pray, they do everything, and they have also chance to do the charity, but the poor people don't have. That's why the scholar said, if you do the right thing in your wealth, you might be given a position which is better than the position of those who did not have that opportunity to get the wealth. So what I want you to understand is that wealth is not evil in itself. It's based on the behavior I have. I behave towards it well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me good reward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lan tazula qadama 'abdin yawm al-qiyamah hatta yus'ala an arba." On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about four things before you leave your position. One of them is the wealth that you got in this dunya. How did you get it and how did you spend it? So two things to be focusing on when earning, you know, any wealth. You must make sure that the place or the source is halal, and you make sure that you're spending them in the halal way. These are the main questions that a person will be asked on the day of judgment about his wealth. How did he get the wealth and how did he spend it? And he has to ask Allah, he has to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in detail. So as I said, it's all about the behavior. How did you behave? Not the wealth in itself. Right? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innal insan li rabbihi lakanud," he's talking about the nature of human beings. Right? He said, "Law kana libni adam wadiyan min dhahabin labtagha ilayhi thalitha." If a person has two valleys of gold, he is going to ask for the third one. Okay, innal insana wa innahu li hubbil khayri la shadid. If he has two valleys of gold, he will be requesting and demanding and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him another one. And what is he going to do with one valley of gold, you know? But if he has two, he'll be asking for the third one. If you give him the third one, he will be asking for the fourth one. And that's human nature. Yeah, that's why you have this relative scarcity, right? When it comes to the need or the want, the second one. The need, there is no scarcity in the need. Because if everyone is to focus on his need, what we have, you know, being placed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth is more than enough for everyone. All that you have to do is to have a righteous government who will remove the greed and injustice, and then you will see everyone being satisfied. Yeah, but if you have the greed, you have the injustice and unfairness being committed against the members of the community, then for sure, yeah, you have the scarcity affecting everything, even the need. Yeah. Otherwise, if we are to focus on the need, not what you call the wants and the desire things, you know, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the place where we live is more than enough for us, inshallah, to survive. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to this concept when he said, "Law kana libni adama wadiyan min dhahabin." He talks about desire because he already has two wadi of dhahab, but he's still looking for more. What is he going to do with it? But that's human nature. So to conclude, please do remember this: wealth is not supposed to reach your heart; it is supposed to remain at your hand. You get it? You get it as a means, not as a goal. You get it? It doesn't mean you shouldn't love it. No, you shouldn't love it, but the love that doesn't take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you use it properly. You get the idea? Because when it gets into the heart, it will not come out of it. That's why you have people who are so rich, but they don't want to pay the zakat. Yeah, because the whole thing about their life is how to get more and more. And they know that if they give the charity, it will reduce the amount. And you have this deficiency also in the belief in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why they always see it as a deficiency that is going to affect their wealth. Otherwise, the sunnah said, if you give charity, it is not going to reduce your wealth. It will increase your wealth. Yeah, it will increase it physically and also spiritually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the wealth when you give charity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this person that is busy with accumulation of the wealth and using it in the wrong way, you know, disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't he know that it is a fact that a day will come when he will be resurrected and coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his grave? إِذَا بُؤْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. And this is not just the grave, the normal grave, those people who die, wherever they are. Because qabr could be the normal earth that you go and put a person, or the stomach of animals, not even one. Many animals ate a person, he's going to come back from all of those places. وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And that which a person is hiding, whether good or bad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَعِ. And that's the day of judgment. So whatever you accumulate, whatever you get of wealth, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring it out. Your intentions, you know, getting wealth and the way you spend them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you based on that. قَالَ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows better than anybody else about them, what exactly they did in that which they accumulated in this life. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is a very simple message, you know, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on how to deal with wealth in this dunya. Okay? Try your best to get whatever you want to get. Don't be dependent on others. Always try to do things by yourself. Eat from your earning, your effort. That's the attitude and the behavior of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kana Dawood alayhi salam la yakul illa min amali yadi. Dawood doesn't eat except from that which his hand earned. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best food is the food that you eat from your own personal earnings, not somebody feeding you. And he says, wa inna abna'akum aw waladi ar-rajul min kasbihi. And your children are part of your kasb, your earning. And that's why if you take from the wealth of your child give you money and you eat from that, it's like you're eating from what you took from your own effort. Yeah, that's why when you die, if your child make a dua for you, it will be counted as your continuous act of worship. Yeah, because the child is part of your kasb, part of your earning, right? So whatever he does, inshallah, you'll get the reward for that if you give him a good tarbiyah. If you don't give him a good tarbiyah, then you're going to lose this, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلَدٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْعُوا لَهُ. He restricted this virtue, the benefit, to a righteous child. If you don't leave somebody who is righteous, he will not even remember to make dua for you. قَالَ إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whatever a person is doing. So get the wealth from the halal source and also spend it in the halal way. Okay, it's very simple. Get it from the halal source. Whatever is not halal, stay away from it. Doubtful matters, stay away from them. Yeah, nowadays our life and our earning is always based on doubtful things, you know, in most instances. Stay away from doubtful matters, as you are advised to do by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also get only the halal. And make sure you spend it in the correct way, with no israf and no tabdhir. What is israf? Extravagance, right? What is tabdhir? Wasting money. That's why when you put them both together in one place, israf will be spending money in the haram. Spending money in the halal way, but you go beyond the limit. I invite people for walima, and I invite only 10 people, but I cook for 100 people. The rest of the food I'm going to put it in the garbage bin. That's haram. That's israf. You know, to go beyond what you need. Yeah. Umar radiallahu anhu, and he translate and interpret this israf to be, buying whatever your nafs advise you to buy. That's israf. You know, you need a laptop, and your need is only, you know, for the laptop that costs 2,000 ringgit. You went and bought a laptop at the cost of 10,000 ringgit. That's israf. Yeah. Many of us don't know this. That's israf. You spend a huge amount of money to buy a car, millions of dollars. That's israf. Yeah. Unless if you need a car, you know, like that, let's say those heavy business people, which their business necessitated that. Because there are some people, you know, for you to have the prestige, you need to have those type of cars. Otherwise, you would not be respected. So it helps you in your business. In this case, you buy, or protection, or any other, you know, advantage, which, yes, it really worth that amount of money that you're paying for that. Otherwise, you have to restrict yourself by buying something moderately. Not to buy like the poor. This is also wrong. You buy things in the way the poor people are buying, and you are rich. This is also wrong approach. Allah wants to see the sign of His ni'mah in you whenever He bless you with the ni'mah. You get it? So we have to be very, very careful. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, you know, is more than enough for us, inshallah, in to cater for our life. But unfortunately, we always go beyond the limit. That's why from time to time, we end up taking loan from others. We do have money, but at the end of the day, before the end of the month, you went and take loan from others. Yeah, because your money has been spent in things that are not necessary. You get it? So israf is to spend money in a halal way, but you go beyond the limit, you exaggerate. Tabdhir is to spend money in a haram way. We call it tabdhir, waste of money. Yeah, both tabdhir and israf are rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Don't do israf because Allah hates the musrifeen. You know, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبْذِيرًا. Don't do tabdhir because a mubadhir is a brother and a friend of shaitan. And shaitan disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So moderation is required in everything. Don't be stingy and don't be somebody who open his hand and just spend money anyhow. Yeah, be moderate. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has advised you to do. So that's the end of this surah. The next surah is Surah Al-Qari'ah. Surah Al-Qari'ah is almost similar to the previous surah, Surah Al-Zalzala, carrying the same nature, talking about the details of the day of judgment and the recompense that will take place when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, wa ma adraka mal-Qari'ah, يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this last part of the Quran is reminding us with this short source. But subhanAllah, they are very powerful, straight to the point. What exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, He placed it in these short surahs, you know, to make it easy for you. And this is the nature of the surah al-Makkiyah, fil ghalib. They come with no detail, very straightforward, because the heart is not ready to accommodate much of details. And also the Muslims need to know this simple method, you know, in order to be able to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to follow properly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about al-Qari'ah. Al-Qarwa is to knock on something. It's like something that is knocking on the heart. And this Al-Qari'ah is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. You know, the Day of Judgment has so many names. Al-Zalzala, Al-Qari'ah, you know. So these names are given to a thing. When you have a lot of names being given to one thing, it shows importance. It shows concern. It shows significance, right? And Day of Judgment is very significant. And not believing in this will put us into trouble. Injustice is taking place in this dunya because people are away from this belief. If they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they believe that they will be taken back to Allah for accountability, they will not oppress others. I disobey Allah, you disobey Allah, everyone is obeying Allah because of the weaknesses in iman. Otherwise, if you have the strong belief in accountability, usually a person will try to stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. Yeah, because you believe that sooner or later, you'll be taken back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accountability. You have to explain to Allah whatever you did in this dunya. So this Day of Judgment has so many names. Yeah. Each and every one of them is somehow scary. Like this one, Al-Qari'ah. It's like something that is knocking on the heart of the one who is there. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Qari'atu مَا الْقَارِعَةِ. So this is the second one, is an emphasis. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks again to draw your attention. Maybe you are not paying attention at the first time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Al-Qari'ah. He mentioned it again. And he says, what do you know about Al-Qari'ah? How do you, what do you know about this this day of Al-Qari'ah? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day of judgment is the day, the Qari'ah, the meaning of Al-Qari'ah, this is Tafsir Al-Qur'an bi Al-Qur'an. He says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. It is the day in which people will be like the scattered moth. It's like you have a group of ants gathering themselves in one place. You know, the butterflies and the grasshoppers, they stay in one place. And you bring a stone and put in the middle of them. You see the way they will fly. This one going this way, this one going this way. You know, disoriented and in a state of unconsciousness, each one of them is trying to run away. Subhanallah. This is how people will be resurrected from their graves in a state of confusion. Yeah. When you come out of the grave and you see the zilzal, the earthquake is taking place from any dimension, from every dimension. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. You know, you see the mountains also turning into dust. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will turn into something that looks like a piece of a cotton that is scattered also unarranged, flying in the air. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah 2, that number, he says, وَتَرَى الْجِبَالَ تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِدَةً وَهِيَ تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. On the day of judgment, you will see the jibal. Please, those behind who are speaking, if you can be silent, please. We will really appreciate it. Your voice is reaching us. Sisters behind, please, if you can be quiet, we will really appreciate it. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will see the mountain, تَحْسَبُهَا جَامِلَةً. You think the mountains are in one place, being stagnant. They're not moving. وَهِيَ تَمْرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at the same time, they are moving just like the clouds, the way you see the clouds move. So imagine you woke up from your grave, you see the earth is moving, it's shaking from every dimension. And the mountains in front of you are turning into dust and flying just like that. You know, so you can understand the reason why people are confused. Right? And they don't know what to do. Nobody would know what exactly is going on and what to do, how to escape this, obstacle. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. So how to pass this test? You know, this is the greatest calamity that is going to take place on our planet, you know, the Day of Judgment. Yeah. It's really going to be disaster for those wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرُ. It's really not going to be an easy day for the wrongdoers. So how to pass and to escape, you know, to make sure that you don't get into trouble, you know, because on this day, trust me, if you pass the test, you're going to see a lot of amazing things, scary things, you know. You see people walking on their faces, you know, they're walking on, even in the legs, sometimes some people cannot, they need those, the sticks, you know, to help them to walk with them. But on the day of judgment, the person will walk on his face. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how is it possible for a person to walk on his face? He says, the one who has the ability to let him walk on his foot has the ability also to let him walk on his face. Yeah. See the snakes, they drag their body and go like that, and very fast. All of these are showing us the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his ability to do whatever he wants. So on the day of judgment, if you see a person walking on his face, what does that mean? Good or bad? Of course it's bad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see all of these things. Somebody whose half of his body is being cut in two pieces. Who is that person? A person who has two wives, you know, agree to take this responsibility, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a person goes for this, he must make sure that he is just. Say, مَثْنَا ثُلَاثُ وَرُبَعُ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعَدِلُ. If you know that you cannot be just, Allah says, فَوَاحِدًا, then just marry once, and that's it. It's as simple as this. If a person doesn't listen to this, and he went and he married again, and he is not fair, as it is happening, you know, people, they marry, but subhanAllah, completely unfair to one of the wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَمِلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَ. Do we have situations like that? A lot. Yeah, a lot actually. So all of those people, they should remember that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is not being just, he will come back to Allah, half of his body will be dragging on the earth. Yeah, this is the day of judgment. Yeah, if you have a person like this, he cannot walk, he's dead already, you know. But on the day of judgment, that is okay. You find a person coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. Yeah, so that you will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ إِيوَ اللَّهِ. The person who oppresses his family will pay the price when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That wife that you have, miskina, who has nobody to support her, and you think things are going to be closed in whatever you want, because she is now trapped at your hand, you know, she cannot get divorced, she doesn't want to go for the divorce, she has children, so she stays with you because of this, and you're oppressing her. Wallahi, on the day of judgment, if a person doesn't repent, he's going to receive the consequence. So it's very simple. Allah says, إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. There is a bait I heard from one of the contemporary scholars. May Allah preserve him and guide him and guide all of us to the truth. He was quoting from a Bedouin. He says, إِذَا الْعَجُوزُ غَضِبَتْ. إِذَا الْعَجُوزُ غَضِبَتْ فَطَلِّقِي وَلَا تَرَضَّهَا وَلَا تَمَلَّقِي. He says, when an old woman, these are Bedouins thinking, they're not the good people. He says, when the old woman is angry, he says, just divorce. He says, when the old woman get angry, and this old woman, he's not talking about the old woman at the age of 80. No, I mean the first wife, she has been with him for long. Now she becomes old. When she is angry, he says, why do you beg her? Just divorce her and go and look for somebody else. A'udhu billah. He says, "The ajuz ghadibat fatalliq wa la taraddaha." Don't waste your time begging her, please be patient. I'm sorry, you know, don't go for this. Just divorce. ولكن الله يقول وعاشرهن بالمعروف. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the ishra should be بالمعروف, with kindness and gentleness. If you want to see the interpretation of this, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is very concerned about what worries, you know, his spouses and what makes them angry, and to make sure that they're feeling comfortable living with them. Yeah, of course, they're also doing the right thing, you know, not like so many people also nowadays. Yeah, they're also doing the right thing. But the best interpretation of this Ashiruhunna bil Ma'ruf is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi, you will never see somebody better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. Yeah, the best person. I was explaining to somebody that asked me about a tisbiya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person married from married a second person, he has a right to stay with her for 7 days. But then one of his families, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, in shit, if you're looking for more, in shit is sabba'atu laki wa sabba'atu linisa'i. He said, if you want, I will make 7 days for you. And there's a matron that he married, and she has the right for 3 days. But he said, if you want, I can stay with you for 7 days. But at the same time, I have to also do it for the rest of my wives. Yeah, it's not easy for a wife to hear another person say, the husband saying, my wives also. But he told her, I will do for my wives. He did not say for others. You get the point I'm trying? He did not say for others. Yeah, to remind her that this is the house of justice. Everyone is going to receive equal justice. Yeah, although the love is there so much, but the Prophet ﷺ never oppressed any of his wives. He even said it, he loved Aisha more, but never oppressed anyone. And he never stands Aisha to say something negative against anyone. That's why when she talked about Juwayriyah and she said she's short, Rasulullah ﷺ was enjoying the conversation from her. You know, but when she described Juwayriyah with this shortness, the Prophet ﷺ got very angry with her. And he said, "Ya Aisha, you know, you said a word, if it is to be mixed with the water of the sea, it would destroy it. Nobody will be able to make use of it." That's the best example of a husband that everyone should go. So what I'm trying to say here is, be very careful. You know, when you decided to go for this, then understand that there is a heavy accountability that is facing and waiting for you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think wisely before you move forward. Think wisely. And when you're living with whatever you're living with, and make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees from you none other than good and kindness between you and your spouse. And when I say this also, I'm not talking to the husband alone, miskeen, talking to the wife also. Do wives oppress husbands also? Yes, from both sides it's coming. Sometimes the oppression is on the miskeen. And sometimes he does, and sometimes she does. Yeah. So everyone should do the right thing and what they're supposed to be doing. And bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, they will get the right thing. Yeah. The claim is, he doesn't do, he doesn't give, he doesn't support, he doesn't do this and that. But then when you go back also to see the structure of the house, the wife, is she doing what she's supposed to be doing? No. That can translate the reason why the husband is behaving in the wrong way. He shouldn't. He should be kind all the time, whether she does or she doesn't do. You know, try his best to advise in the right way. But what she is doing is the thing that is provoking that which she doesn't like. Yeah. Marital life should be Jannah or hell? Jannah. Iwallah. Marital life is supposed to be Jannah. You see your wife, you'll be happy. She sees you, she is happy. But how is she going to be happy if she's always depressed staying with you because you're always taking her right? How are you going to be depressed if your wife is always disobeying, not doing her a job in the house? Simple thing that you ask for, she doesn't do. And she might be busy with all the mustahabbat and the wajib, she neglected them. And that's the peak of arrogance, right? I don't want to do except what I want to do. But this is a partner, right? That is something he wants, and that is something you want. If everyone is going to do whatever his soul, his nafs is prescribing for him, wallahi, life would never be good. And trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the reason why many of the lives in the house is not good. You know, they're not good. Yeah, go and ask. Most of the houses are in crisis, you know. Big crisis. And the solution is only one. Yeah. Do understand who you're living with. And recognize your responsibility and just get busy with that. Trust me, the complaint of the husband is going to be reduced and the complaint of the wife is going to be reduced. And the rest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. But as long as you're not doing your responsibility, the wajibat, you know, the manafi', the benefit which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed for you, they might not come. Do your wajibat, do your responsibility, and then the hukuk will come. Everyone has haq. Husband has, wife has, you know. If the husband doesn't do his right, he's going to be faced with disobedience. It might not be easy for her to obey. And he also, if he's not doing his, she also, if she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing, the husband is not going to be able to do what she is looking for. And what is that? The difference. Yeah. Whether you agree or you don't agree, wallahi, this is what the sister is looking for, and she cannot get it unless if she is doing our job and stands for the responsibility in the house. So be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a husband, and as a wife, be like the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then your house will become a Jannah. Yeah, it's not about what we know. Nowadays, they reduce the marital life to what? They call this a nice word, romantics. Yeah, he has to just say those words, and she has to say this. The life is all about this. You know, desire and all of these things. Whereas, wallahi, is not. You know, it's very beautiful when they sit down and have a discussion, you know, about matters that are going on, either family matters or whatever matter, you know. It brings the heart closer together. Yeah. That one, you're going to get tired of it. And also the irresponsible that one of them is being is going to affect even those ones that people are looking for. Yeah, he doesn't say a good word. She doesn't say a good word. Why? Because the root where the good word is supposed to be based is not there. Yeah, unless if we're going to produce nifaq in ourselves, yeah, you look at your wife and smile and laugh. And if she's smart enough, she knows that you're not sincere and you're laughing. Yeah, she has to do things which will, you know, get her that respect which she can sense it, because heart and the heart, they're connected to each other. Iwallah, from time to time when a person is talking to you, you have the sense that this person is sincere. There are people who, when they talk, you know that these people are sincere. That's where a poet says, I forgot that poetry, unfortunately. He says, hadith al-qalbi ila al-qalb, something like that. You know. The thing that comes from the heart, it goes to the heart, straightforward. So these are simple things, you know, and this is very important. You see us repeating this, you know, we have to. Yeah, because only if the family structure is good, then you will see the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in a good shape. Agree or not agree? Only if the family structure is good, then the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be good. Yeah. How many people you find them having mashakil, psychological problem? When you go deeper back to their life, you find that the house is being scattered. The wife is divorced, and the father married another one, and this is very hostile and harsh to the family. Or the husband and the wife, the father and the mother, they're always in clash. And the kids, they're watching this. It is going to affect their life. That's why he comes to school. He cannot be productive in the school. Why? If you ask him, you know, we ask any of them, you know, when they talk, you know, family life back there, he never saw good life between the father and the mother. Yeah, so he destroyed their life. How do you think this person is going to be productive when it goes to the community? Never. So we have no solution except to go back to the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Forget about all of these counseling things, you know, yeah, they're good, alhamdulillah, but many of them, I'm telling you, they put you in a state of loss. Rather than putting you in the right way. Go back to the Sunnah of Rasulullah, read the history of Rasulullah, read the history of the righteous people to see how wives used to live and how husbands used to live. Apply that in your house. Trust me, and I promise that you're going to benefit from that bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla, as long as you are doing that sincerely. So I was talking about the Day of Judgment, you're going to see a lot of things, you know. This person will come because of his injustice, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut him into pieces. Half of him is being dragged by him. You know, you see people in hell dragging their intestine. You know, so many things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that people will see on the Day of Judgment. When do you see this? When are you going to be able to see this? When you pass the test. Yeah. When you pass the test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِينِ الْمَنْفُوشِ فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَعَزِينُهُ. These are the people that will be able to see, you know, those things that I have mentioned. Otherwise, you will be one of those people who others are going to watch. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Yeah. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَعَزِينُهُ. How to pass this test on the Day of Judgment? Allah says, make sure you do the right thing. Because there is something called scale. How is the scale? The Prophet ﷺ describes some part of it, لَهُ كِفَّتَانِ. It has two hands, you know, right? Just like the scale, we have the normal old scale that we have. You have the two kiffa here and here. Then you put, when there is a balance, then what you are supposed to receive is due. So you have this scale being fixed on the Day of Judgment. And what is it going to be put on the scale? You and your deed, both, not just the deed. There are some people who don't agree actually with this, with mizan. That's why it becomes part of our aqidah. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِالْمِيزَانِ. But there are some people who reject the mizan. They said this, how? How do you weigh actions? Yani, where's your action, Mazin? You don't see them. Yeah. And this is the aqlaniyin, the mu'tazila of this time of ours, who use the aql to interpret the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say this is something which is spiritual. We cannot see it. How do we weigh it? You know? Not knowing that they are dealing with the Day of Judgment. And on the Day of Judgment, things are not like what you see here. In your grave, do you receive after the question, do you receive a person coming to sit with you? Who is that person? You did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him as a person. And then you receive that person and you sit with him so that you will not stay alone. You get idea. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Even the deed to come and be in place on the scale, what's wrong with that? This is Allah Rabbul Alameen. What you don't see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees. The way you see things, they might not be the way they are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe that scale is a truth. And it will happen on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh the deed and the person himself. Yeah, both the deed and the person himself. That's why it is really important for you to make sure that you eat halal and stay away from the shubha. Yeah, stay away from the shubha. Don't worry about that. Always, keep your eyes open. Whatever you're going to eat, make sure that this is halal. If there is shubha in it, throw it away. Look for something else. Even if that thing has bad quality, it doesn't matter. Just take it. Aim for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing for you. And eating haram can cause you to lose the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which when you're making dua in this life of ours, you might not have your dua been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more halal you eat, the closer your dua be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said about that person who is Ash'ath Aghbar, you know, and on a journey also, all the causes of ijaba were there in this person. But then the Prophet said Allah doesn't accept his dua. Why? Because his food is haram, his drinks are haram, his clothes is haram, and he's fed with haram. He says, فَأَنَّا يُسَجَابُ لَهُ. How is it possible for the dua of this person to be accepted by Allah? You get the idea. Haram doesn't have good in it. Wallahi, don't take haram. No matter what, stay away from haram and stick to the halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in it. قَالَ فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. If the side of your righteous deed is heavier than the side of the evil deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهُوَ فِي عِشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ. This is the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a very pleasant life when he meets him in the hereafter. Where is this life going to take place? Jannah. Yeah, that is no place kal Jannah. No place kal Jannah. Yeah. So aim for this. No worry, no depression, no stress in this Jannah, right? In this dunya, what do you have? You know, worried, you know, stress. You know? Being disappointed, yeah, by your partner also. Look for the one in Jannah, right? Look for the one in Jannah. That one, no disappointment at all. So in Jannah, no negative life. And we have our friend who is looking for negative life. May Allah grant him. I'm still wanting to see this person, you know. I want to ask him this question, because in this dunya, we're tired of negative life. It looks like he doesn't get one at all in his life. And so he wanted to taste it, even in the hereafter, to see in Jannah, how does it look? So no negative life in the hereafter. Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. Whatever you ask for, you will get it. Yeah? If a person wants negative life, he will get it in a positive way. Yeah, there is no evil in Jannah. There is no bad thing in Jannah. Everything in Jannah is perfect and excellent and good. So make the comparison, as Ibn Qayyim says when he's talking about your family in Jannah and your family in this dunya. Right? And that's Ibn Qayyim, not Ibrahim. He says, make the comparison and see. Those one and this one. Which one you favor? And he's talking to both, brothers and sisters also. Which one you favor? Of course, Jannah. And alhamdulillah, in Jannah, your spouse, you know, your wife and your husband, are not going to be like these ones. Otherwise, Jannah will not be interested. You know? They're going to be pure and clean people who don't have any hatred. Life is going to be 100% excellent. No grief, no sadness, no fatigue, no sickness, no worry, no disappointment at all. Yeah. Allah says, for whoever you ishat radiya, you will be taken to this excellent and the most pleasant life. And aim for Firdaus, yeah, to be one of the neighbors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbu al-alamin. The best thing in Jannah is, what is the best thing in Jannah? Allah, if you fail in this, I should close this class forever. Thank you very much. I was afraid you're going to fail, but alhamdulillah, Adam saved you. Yeah, the best thing in Jannah is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallaha yirzuqana an-nazar ila wajhi. Al-Karim, fi al-Jannah wa fi arasat yawm al-Qiyamah. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Wallahi, lawla ru'yat al-Rahmani fi al-Jannati ma tabat lidhil irfan. He says, Wallahi, if not because of the fact that people are going to see Allah in Jannah, Jannah would not be as interesting as it is. Wallahi, lawla ru'yat al-Rahmani fi al-Jannati ma tabat lidhil irfan. He says, wa idha ra'ahu al-mu'minuna nasu alladhi hum fihi mimma nalat al-aynani. And when the believers see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will forget that which they are enjoying. You know, the enjoyment they are in the Jannah, which is not going to be comprehended. Nobody will understand, how great is this. It's far beyond our comprehension. But he says, لَوْلَا رُؤْيَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مَا طَابَتْ لِذِرِرْفَانِ. Jannah will never be interesting in the way it is if there is no fact of seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the best thing you get in Jannah. Yeah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much we will enjoy. That's why he says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, just be patient. You don't know what I have been preparing for you, of that which will make you happy, you know, that which will bring you satisfaction when you meet me. Just be busy with the righteous deed until you come to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. You get it? So let's be patient altogether. You know, it doesn't fit us to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become impatient in this life. Fighting for the dunya, struggling for the dunya, neglecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you end up your life in this dunya, going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting into trouble. What is the point of it? You get what I'm trying to say? Allah. It's useless kind of thinking for a person to think in this way. You favor your dunya, and you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get into trouble, and the dunya will never benefit you. It's the worst type of decision somebody can ever make. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jannah and work for it. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعِيهَا. You look for akhirah and you work for it. Yeah, you don't say, ya Allah, give me Jannah and Firdaus, come on. But then you go and sleep. No, that's wrong thinking. Allah doesn't do this. Yes, وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. But he makes a way for Jannah. And that is a way for you to use, you know, to reach Firdaus. Yeah, and that is a way for you to use to reach normal Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, aim for the best one. Then look for the low one. There is nothing little in Jannah, but Rasulullah wants to see you in that best place, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to be patient, you know, to practice the religion the way it should be practiced. So Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ وَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةً. As for the other type of people who did not want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, and they went against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. And as such, خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُمْ, the side of the righteous deed became lighter, and the side of the evil deed became heavier. So you see, it's all about the weight, right? And this weight is taken from what? From the heart. A person might be so huge, you know, bulk, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضًا. Doesn't have the weight of a wing of a mosquito on the scale. Yeah. Although he's so big, you know, here maybe 150, 200, if there is somebody like that, you know. Yeah, they brought one. Somebody who ate in the wrong way, I think 400 kg or something. Yeah. Anyway, anyone who doesn't believe, if people like this believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they accept Allah and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that weight they have is not going to benefit them on the day of judgment, but the heart is the one that will benefit them. You get the idea. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the focus is on the heart. In Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wala ila ajsadikum. Allah doesn't look at the way you look. Yeah. Nowadays we recognize the way the person looks. Yeah. We respect a person because of the way he looks. Unfortunately, sometimes if you're from the West, you know, they respect you more than the way they respect the believers, just because you're from the West. People put their hope in you, thinking that you are the only one who can bring solution to their life. A'udhu billah. Yeah. Iwallah, a'udhu billah. In Islam, there is no difference between this and that. Whatever language you have, whatever color you have, whatever size you have, whatever face you have, the way you look, doesn't matter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What matters with Allah is your heart. What kind of heart you have. Yeah, this face and this body, you know, the way you look, where does it go? Goes to the grave and will become the food of what? Worms. Yeah, those people who admire, want to see you at the time, if they are to go and open your grave, nobody will agree to stay with you. So what happened to the beauty? What happened to the handsomeness? What happened to the wealth? What happened to the size? What happened to the color? What happened to the race and the language that we are fighting, you know, annoying others because of this, you know, disrespecting others because of this? You know, they disappear. None of them will work when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the focus should be on your heart. Yeah, Islam doesn't say that you should be dirty. But at the same time, this shouldn't distract you, because some of us, the main focus is on the physical appearance. Ewallah, it's stupidity. If a person neglects his heart and focus on the physical appearance, this is stupidity. Yeah? That's why if you want to succeed, when you are to marry, what should be your focus? Deen and righteousness, and deen and good manners. Yeah. Do we call them beauty? Yes. You have the physical beauty and you have the spiritual one. The most important one is the spiritual one, because it's the one that will not perish. The other one will go very soon. And if that is the basis of your friendship with somebody, you will change your mind when you don't see it anymore. Yeah. And that's the reason why at the first part of the meeting, everything is fine. After a few days, what happened? Everything is not fine. Yeah, fighting and clashing. Yeah, because now they're familiar with each other and their reality is being seen from each other. Be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let Allah be in your company. Allah, you will not regret. In anything you will do it, let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be in your company. Make the basis of your choice be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will enjoy long life with anyone you are choosing to be with. Friends, wife, husbands, whoever. You choosing to be, if that the choice is based on them being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being righteous, trust me, you will be able to last longer in your friendship with them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. If the side of your righteous deed is very low, then the mother of this person will be hawiyah. Hawiyah means Jahannam. What makes you righteous? What makes the size of your scale heavy? Righteous deed. Just say righteous deed. That's it. Why do I say just say righteous deed? Don't focus on a single one of them. Just righteous deed. Anyone. As long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it, just do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَحْقِنَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Don't you ever belittle any righteous deed. You see that person, he managed to go to paradise because of one word. Right? It takes him to paradise. That prostitute sister, she managed to go to paradise because of feeding dog. That's a simple thing, you know. That is big in the eyes of Allah. You know that person managed to go to paradise because of picking up from the ground and throwing it away. He goes to paradise. You know that person was supposed to be taken to hell because of activities and deeds of 7 nights, which destroys or become heavier than the deeds of 70 years. What saved him? A piece of bread. A piece of bread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala valued so much. And it became heavier than the evil deed. He goes to paradise because of that. So don't belittle the righteous deed, no matter how much small it is. Just say to yourself, Allah loves it, I'm going to do it. And that's it. Allah, you don't know which righteous deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take and take you to paradise. Which one Allah will accept and take you to paradise because of it. And you don't know which evil deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take from your deed and take a person to hell because of it. Yeah, so stay away from wrongdoing. No matter how much small you see them. Yeah, they are small in your eyes. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they might be so big. It is enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he doesn't want. And it is always better and wajib for a Muslim to stay away from what Allah hates. So for ummuhu hawiya, wa ma adraka ma hiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what do you know about this place? That place is going to be his mother. You know why the mother? Because mother with the kids, she's always with her kids. The child get into trouble when he is with the father from time to time. Yeah, because we're busy with something else. That mercy that you have, the mercy, yeah, you do have, but it is not like the mother's mercy. Alhamdulillah, children are supposed to be with the mothers, not the fathers. Yeah, that's why he cried. She doesn't get annoyed. She worries so much that maybe something is happening to him, but the father is there getting annoyed. Allah, he's distracting me in my things. He go to the other room and stay there, you know. Or pack his things and leave the house. Complain all the time. It's really, you should be very careful. This boy is disturbing me. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, the brothers are not supposed to be in charge of this. That's why people survive. Okay, that's why you'll be surprised why a mother will take her child and go and throw him away. Yeah, that's the result of what? Zina, you know, having illegal relationship. When the child comes, she doesn't remember this fact of she being very close to her child. She doesn't mind going and throw him away. Otherwise, the real mother would never agree with this. So mother always embraced the child. You know, father also should do that, but of course the mother side is stronger. So Allah says, وَأُمُّهُ هَوِيَةً. The mother of this person is hawiya. That means she is going to be like gharib to him, always with this person. It embraces the one who gets inside it. Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَةً. You know, what do you know about this? This place, this mother of this person, you know, the last mother, right? نَارٌ حَامِيَةً. There's a very strong fire, very painful fire and a very hot fire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your fire is juz'un min sab'een. Juz'un min jahannam. You know, it says the fire that you have here in this dunya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is just one portion, you know, out of the 70 portions of hell. You multiply by 70, then you get the temperature in hell. They say, Rasulullah, even the one here is more than enough. He said, no. فُبْدِلَتْ عَلَى هَذِهِ بِسَبْعِينَ دَرَجَةً. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored the hell, you know, over what we have, whatever fire you have here, the one in hell is much greater and harsher than what you have here. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the lowest person that will be going to hell, أَهْوَلُ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا أَهْوَلُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ عَذَابًا. The lowest person in terms of punishment is the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him to wear two slippers, two shoes of hell. In some places, two pieces of hell that he will be placing his feet. And yagli minhu dimaghu. You see that the brain is boiling. That's hell. You just touch it and the reaction reaches the brain. So this is good for everyone to know this, because there are some people who don't mind, you know. As long as a Muslim will not stay in hell forever, you know. Iwallah, it's a very wrong thinking, yeah. This is not the place to be chosen to stay, not for a second. And this place is so evil, as the Prophet ﷺ said, the hellfire, you know, complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it says, Ya Allah, akala ba'di ba'da. Ya Allah, part of me started to eat the other part. I told you many times that this place is so evil in the way it doesn't wait. It started eating itself. You see that? How bad is this place, right? It started eating itself. Even itself is not protected, you know, from it. Yeah. So it says, Ya Allah, akala ba'di ba'da. Ya Allah, part of me is eating the other part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it permission to breathe twice in a year. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the PQ you have in the summer, the temperature, and also what you see in the winter, the cold. So in the winter it breathes, and that's the strong, you know, cold you have in those places, minus something. Yeah, in some places beyond what you can tolerate, you know. Qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they happen to be in that place, you know. And in some places, the temperature is very high. Yeah. All of these are coming from the breathing of Jahannam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So let's together, inshallah, behave well and do the right thing. And make sure that we leave this life, inshallah, peacefully, and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put us in the Aisha al-Radiyah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Barakallahu feekum. Where is the voice coming? Yes, I'm dropping.
Okay, Sheikh. We have one question. And we have two parts for that question. So السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ، جزاك الله خير، أحسن الله إليك في الدنيا والآخرة. شيخ، is there a valid opinion by any scholar of the past or from a madhab that when a woman takes khul, her iddah can only be for a month? And the next question is, and that after khula, if she does not get married for a long period of time, she can return to the husband without being married elsewhere first?
Okay, this is a question that is asking about khula. And what he mentioned in the question is about the controversial matter of the scholars after the khula. This is the divorce that a wife is seeking from the husband, where he releases her and she pays him the mahar he paid her. And is she going to stay like the woman in the normal divorce, or her case is different, where she is just supposed to do the istibra with one hayd? Yeah, so it depends on the opinion of the scholars, and it depends on how do you see it. If you say that khulu is talaq, divorce, then she has to stay for 3 menses. And if you see it as fasakh, then you just tell her to stay for one hayd, which is about a month, and then khalas, she can just go and marry somebody else. And this opinion is quite closer to the truth, but being on the safe side is always better. And I guess Sheikh Islam, this is his opinion, the second one, is fasakh, وليس بطلاق. They have some explanation to that hadith of Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas. It's not the time to go into the detail, right? However, being on the safe side is better. If she stays until the third menses and then she get married to another person, that would be better, inshallah ta'ala. Then she goes out of all the controversy of the scholars. And also, if the mukhala, you know, the wife that the husband gave her, the khulu, if she stays for long, if she wants to come back to the husband, she has to come back to the husband in a new marriage. Get it? In a new marriage. He cannot just tell her to come back. They have to arrange a new marriage. If he cannot afford the marriage and she wants to come back, yeah, if she wants to come back, he proposed to her. If she agrees, then she can make the mahar very symbolic thing, which has value. And that's it. Bring the witnesses, make the marriage very simple. No need to invite 20,000 people, you know, go and make a big hole and all of these things. No need to go for all of these things. They can just come back in a new marriage with, going through all the processes, yeah? And the mahar should be very little so that she can afford, because the idea for both of them is to come back, yeah? And that's good. Sharia supports this. Mm. And I will advise these people to study. After they come back, to sit down and study what really happened that led them to have that khulu. Yeah, so that they can avoid it, you know? It should be the life of a Muslim. When you get into trouble, study the cause, the root cause, and cut it off so that you will not get back to it again. Yes.
Next question is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
When we say people who differ from the correct aqidah go to hellfire, do we mean because of their disbelief in what's correct, they leave the fold of Islam and it necessitates repentance and coming back to the deen?
It depends on what kind of deviation is that. If the deviation took them out of Islam completely, they become kuffar, they'll go to hellfire forever and ever. They'll never come out of it. But if the deviation does not take them out of Islam, you know, because not every deviation in aqidah take a person out of Islam. Yeah, we have to be aware of this, you know. Not everyone who deviated in aqidah become kafir. No. They're wrongdoers. They're fusaq. They're muslimin, but wrongdoers. So this one, if they don't repent, and Allah did not forgive them, if they happen to be in hell, they will go out of hell one day. They cannot remain there forever and ever. You get an idea? Yeah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those people who have the deviation and they die without repentance, Allah can still forgive them. Yeah, without punishment. Yeah, this is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that whoever died committing the major sins or minor sins is under the mashiyah of Allah. If Allah wants, He forgives. If Allah doesn't want, He punishes them according to their sins. Yeah. May Allah grant us good.
Can we have examples of this wrong beliefs in Aqeedah that can take a person outside the fold of Islam?
Somebody who believes that the Quran is false. Somebody who does not accept the Prophet ﷺ to be the last and the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody who describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with weaknesses intentionally. Somebody who curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in his word, knowing that this is a curse. Somebody who cursed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Get an idea. These are all matters of aqidah that can take a person out of Islam. As for having misunderstanding of some of the sifat, they establish the sifat, but they have some misunderstanding of some of the sifat. This one should be educated. You should tell them that you don't do that. Fix them. Do you get the idea? You have some of our scholars, great scholars. They have some ta'weel when they describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will address the matter accordingly. You don't say that these people went out of Islam. No, they don't. You get the idea? Going out of Islam is to say something that is contradictory to religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that, yes, you have some people who believe that Ali ibn Abi Talib has the divinity, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe that he's also divine, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get the idea? They believe that they're imams, you know, they have the power like the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a kufr. Yeah, it's a kufr. I heard somebody saying, he's saying, wallah, he was sworn by Allah, that his sheikh, yaqul li shay kun fayakun. His sheikh said to something, kun fayakun, it will happen. Be, and it is. What do you call this? And he's making himself Rabbul Alameen. So these are kufr. Other than that, these are just matters that are, wrongdoing. We call them innovators. Innovation can take a person out of Islam and can be innovation that doesn't take a person out of Islam. He will be a sinner, right? Big sin, of course, but you wouldn't say that he goes to hell forever. If Allah wants, he will forgive him, even if he doesn't repent. If Allah doesn't want, Allah SWT will punish him according to his sin. Last question.
I would like to know whether Islam teaches us to hate the Jews or not. I'm asking this because there are people who say that Jews are the enemies of Islam rather than the Zionists.
That is true. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, this is not their statement. This is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. That تَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. He said the worst in terms of hating the believers are the Jews. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this. And he talks about the non-believers in general. He says, لَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They will never be pleased with you unless if you follow their religion. وَدُّوا مَا عَنِتُمْ قَرْبَلَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. They always want to see you get into a state of difficulty. And what their heart is hiding is greater than what you see. Yeah. And that's what we see in the history. Allah asks us to be kind with them. But love should be only for Allah and the believers. Everyone has to be very clear about this. Love should be for Allah and the believers. But are you supposed to be kind to the non-Muslims? Yes, even the Jew. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind with them. But you just have to know who is your enemy. Right? But you be kind to them. You invite them. You support them if they need the dunya support. You give them. You give them guidance. Yeah, we do all of this. Allah advises us to be good, to behave well. Let them see the best example of a Muslim. Yeah, but at the same time, you know that your allegiance is supposed to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers. And that's it. Your heart is just for that. Yeah, but you don't harm anyone. And that's why in every place where you have Islam being established correctly, the non-Muslims, they enjoy. You Allah, they enjoy. A lot of privileges. Much more better than what they have in their own territories. If we apply Islam correctly. Yeah, but it doesn't mean that I should go and have alliance with them or love them. No, that one should be with the believers. But kindness, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we should be kind. So that statement was correct. Yeah, and you can see throughout the history, these are the enemies of human being. I like the statement of one of them when he says that the world started to understand that the one who doesn't want to see this world in a state of peace are those guys. And that's what everyone should understand from day one. Yeah, they already told us, but we don't want to understand. They said, "Nahnu ummatul la na'ishu illa bi'adu." We are a nation that cannot live except with an enemy. فَإِذَا خَلَقَ فَإِذَا هَلَكَ عَدُوٌ أَنْشَأْنَا عَدُوٌ أَخْرٌ. They say when an enemy is dead, we will create another enemy. They said we cannot live without enemy. What kind of life is this? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم signed a treaty with them not to fight each other. They broke all of these treaties. The first, the second, the third, and all of them. None of them was maintained by them. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never broke a treaty between him and anyone. Yeah, because why would you break it? The treaty says, let's live in peace. Yes, you have your religion, we have our religion. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. We don't disturb you, you don't disturb us. We don't fight you, you don't fight us. We don't support somebody against you, you don't support anyone against us. What's wrong with this? But they don't want this. They won't fight. They won't battle. They won't lack of peace. Because they say we cannot live without trouble. Yeah. So the world should know who is the troublemaker on earth. Right? We accommodated them. When the crusaders chased them away from their own territories, they disagreed to stay with the Christians. They go with the Muslims, wherever they go, because they seize nothing from the Muslims except justice. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they broke all the treaties, they do whatever they want to do, they killed some of the Muslims, but still the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kind with them. You know? And the same goes to after that. Until the time they did what cannot be tolerated, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them to leave the place completely. We can't live with a person like this. Yeah. Unfortunately, they brought them to our own territories, and you can see what is going on in our place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate the people in Palestine and help us to see the day this enemy is going to leave this place of ours and go back to where he came from. And what I see is that the Western community, they don't want them to come to them. That's why they're doing everything possible to make sure that they remain with us. It's as simple as this. They don't want you to be with them because they know when they exist in their own territory, they will never relax. So let them be with the Muslims. Yeah, so that we will keep receiving. That's why they support them so much. Not because they love them. Trust me, they don't. Yeah, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. Yeah, their heart is scattered. But you think they're together. No, they're not. May Allah grant us good and guide them also. Yeah, may Allah guide them and grant us good and help us to understand our religion correctly. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيلٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.